Welcome back to In the Moment. Aspiring nurses are researching vulnerable populations and brainstorming strategies to improve lives. University of Sioux Falls students examine vulnerable populations. Some teams consider solutions for children who are hearing impaired. Others develop a plan to deter college students from abusing alcohol. SDPB's Keely Boltina talks with a nursing instructor about comprehensive patient care. She also spotlights the vision these 20-somethings have for making the world a better place.
Three University of Sioux Falls juniors stand at least 6 feet tall. And these men major in nursing. Their latest task examines vulnerable populations.
We looked at the homeless population and thought it would be something that we could easily go down and kind of see and do like kind of hands-on.
Austin Schaefer says pinpointing people without homes is more difficult than he assumed. He says some people who need free health services don't fit homeless stereotypes. Schaefer says examining areas where poorer people live, though, reveals more.
If like you really looked at and like focused on the like buildings, the infrastructure, like their lawns and everything like that, like if you don't really pay attention, you kind of miss how like run down and like unkept it kind of is in that area.
You know, you got all your businesses in your nice downtown Sioux Falls area, but then almost instantly you reach, you know, the area where it's like Union Gospel Mission, the Banquet, and it's more run down and you don't have like that benefit of all those businesses working together to keep it nice and maintain the areas.
Brandon Boyd says people congregate in the core of the city. Some people who don't have homes sleep in their cars, and they can move around town. He says other homeless people rely on public buses.
Transportation has the potential to be a positive in Sioux Falls, but, you know, with the schedules and the routes, for instance, the routes don't go out to the food pantry right now. So there's people working to get a petition for that to happen, but, you know, who knows how long that'll take.
Boyd says his group discerns Sioux Falls boasts multiple agencies to meet the needs of disadvantaged populations. He says the problem is that some people can't access the services. He discovers this while performing free blood pressure checks.
So I encountered this gentleman who, you know, came from overseas, living homeless with his wife, had uncontrolled diabetes, but didn't have the means of doing it, maintaining his illness, I should say. So that was kind of a huge thing that stood out to me because he knew everything and he knew what he needed, but he couldn't get it.
Team members craft a strategy to shed light on options for underserved populations. Nick Stanky says the best way to do that is a sort of party.
If we could figure out some way to collaborate all the resources in one location and have kind of like, it's kind of like a convention type deal in like a local park for these resources to gather, and people could come. We'd have incentives for them, like food that could bring them in, and then they could learn about these resources all in one location so they can realize that these resources can work together for their benefit if they knew what was actually out there.
Stanky says he now knows no one kind of person becomes homeless. He says some people fall to addiction and others get sick. He says some are college graduates or spend years working full time before they lose a place to live.
Nothing just to remember is that every person you see has a different story. I remember at Center of Hope when we were talking with Maddie and someone would walk in and she would tell us about his story. And it's crazy to realize that all these people have different stories.
Stanky says he and his group members want to be nurses to serve, and part of that is taking the initiative to solve community problems.
Jill Pitts, you have a master's in nursing and you are an instructor here at the University of Sioux Falls. Thanks for talking with us today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Our listeners have heard about some of the projects that your students are working on. A couple that we are talking about today include, you know, homelessness in Sioux Falls or the mentally ill who are incarcerated. But tell me about these students because they're nursing students. So when I think of that, I think like blood pressure cuffs and IVs. That's pretty short-sighted, I guess, of me.
Right, but that's okay because that is one of the first things that people think about with nursing is that, you know, you do the skills. And so students get so wrapped up in, I've got to learn how to take this blood pressure. I have to know how to start this IV. And I'm not negating. Those are so important. But seeing the bigger picture is even more important. And so I love the fact that they're in public health nursing. And so it's a specialty in nursing. But really what it's driven towards is population-based nursing. And so even the hospitals around here, we have two great hospitals, Avera and Sanford, are really gearing up and focusing on population-centered nursing, because people are only in the hospital for so many days, and it's important for us to think, okay, what are they going back to? You know, it's so easy for us in the hospital as nurses to say, I'm going to create this week, we're all about care plans, you know, have this perfect medication, discharge paperwork, all of that's perfect, but then we don't think about, they don't have a car, they don't have insurance, they're actually homeless. You know, those are just little things that are looking at how do we determine what they actually have access to. And so we dive into this with public health nursing, and so that really allows the students to say, okay, these things called determinants of health, you know, access to care, language barriers, education, income, et cetera, that all really says, okay, how is this going to impact your care? And so by allowing them to explore these areas, then they can be a deeper thinker and really look at the whole picture. So they're going to be nurses that go out and say, okay, I know that you have limited income, so these are free resources I can set you up with, or these are things that we can send you home on so we can make sure you're following up on what we're doing in the hospital. So population-based care is really kind of the wave of now and the future, and so it's allowing us to look beyond the hospital bed and really looking at the communities with which people are involved with every day.
Why is this something that people are looking to now and looking to nurses to deliver?
Well, largely because of insurances. You know, Medicare, Medicaid, they only allow for so many days in the hospital. And now we're going through some big changes now with even Affordable Care Act. But aside from all of that, they won't pay if someone comes back within 30 days. And so it's important, if you're going to send a patient home, you want to send them home for longer than 30 days, you know, because otherwise the hospital basically has to pay for that readmission. So it's a lot of money. It's driven by that. But also it's the fact that if you come in and you only are spending 1 or 2 days in the hospital, I've hardly skimmed the surface for the care that you really need. And so it's saying, okay, we've got to set you up with services outside the community, really looking at what else we can do to keep you out of the hospital. Because most people spend their time in the communities, in their homes. We want to keep them there rather than spending all that time in the hospital and wasting resources.
When students walk through the door, do they automatically understand that this is part of nursing, or is this something that's a little bit of a more abstract concept that they may not have thought about when they thought, I want to be a nurse?
You hit that on the head. They don't come in even really understanding like what public health is about. You know, they come in because it's required. And so it's my job to say, all right, we're going to stretch your thinking this semester. And so it's really neat to see how that thinking just shifts throughout the semester. In the beginning, we're just introducing these terms, but then I'm getting them into clinicals that are not in the hospitals. They're in homeless shelters. They're working with people on the streets. They're going and doing food giveaways. They're taking blood pressures of people who don't care maybe about the blood pressure, but they care about getting something for free because they have no income. And so students are able to finally start grasping it kind of by the end. And so it's been really neat to see that shift, and hopefully it translates into their nursing, you know, in a year when they graduate.
Break those experiences down for me. Give me some specifics about what you see your students experiencing and how they change and grow.
For clinical experiences?
Sure.
So we are partnered with Center of Hope, which is downtown, one of my favorite resources in this community. They have a faith-based nurse, Maddie, who is a great supporter of our program, works very much alongside of me and the students. What they do is they go there, and so that agency does a lot of things. So they have a bike to work shop, so students can actually like work alongside people who need to find transportation, recognizing that a bike is the only way they can get around town no matter what the weather's like. But then they teach them how to use the bikes. And so people, nothing's given for free. And so what's neat about it is that they're seeing that they're empowering people rather than just enabling them with these resources. They're also working alongside helping people find coats, but also taking their blood pressures, you know, diabetes. We've checked blood sugars before. But the biggest thing is having communication with them. And that's really where the meaningful piece of the clinical experience happens, because these people just want to share their story. And these, our students, have the time. You know, it's their clinical hours, and they sit down and share with them, talk with them about what's going on in their life while taking their blood pressure, or looking at, okay, what resources can we find for you? Because the Center of Hope is linked with so many areas in our downtown area that can really service these populations. And so that's just a quick glimpse of what's happening. But the deeper pieces come with those meaningful conversations, which is really neat on my end to see.
What do students tell you about those, what you call meaningful conversations?
They just tell me, I can't believe that these people maybe were working before, or they have a PhD and now they have a mental illness and they're living on the streets. You know, mental health and public health really coincide. And so they're actually in mental health nursing with me at the same time. So those conversations can shift back and forth that way. But they really are saying they're a quote-unquote normal person just like all of us. And I think it's really an eye-opener for them to see that these aren't people to be scared of. You know, a lot of them talk about how they normally would approach a homeless person, for instance, and how now, because of these experiences, they're not so afraid of it. They're actually looking at, what can I do to better my community and to reach out and just to make an impact in the lives of these people? So that's a kind of a glimpse of, it's just really changed their perspective on how they interact with people who might be homeless.
And we're hearing about some of their work in a couple of different areas. I know you have different groups that focused on even more things. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the work that they're doing? Give me an assessment.
I'm always so proud of their work. I get excited. I work with them along, you know, the entire semester. So it's really neat to see, you know, again, kind of referencing back how we talked about these key terms and then say, let's pick a vulnerable population. So they always choose a vulnerable population, which just means that they might be underserved in some way. They're prone to health risks or adverse outcomes, you know, and so this can be, I mean, a long, long list, you know, so I give them kind of the freedom to choose something that's interesting to them. And I always love to see what they come up with. And then what we do is we work through the semester. They do a windshield survey, which students might have referenced, and they really assess the community by seeing what's available or what it looks like. So they're just looking at buildings, green spaces, also people they might run into. It's a key element in public health, but they don't realize that they're doing work for their project at the same time. But it also helps them identify, okay, these are areas of health needs that they can focus on for their population. And then they move forward and working within their clinical experiences and finding chances to interact even with those populations or people who do interact with them. So I never let them have the same population. So we always have a variety, which is fun for me too. And I love the ideas they come up with. They're so creative. They think differently, you know, and I love that. And so they come up with great practical ways that really, if someone had the funding or really wanted to make a difference, I think they could take some of these ideas, do a little more research, get some funders in, and really make some of them happen, which I always want to encourage them. I think that that's the neatest part of the project, is that they can do these and really implement them in the community.
You can't mention that there are some really great ideas you've seen them come up with that are creative and not tell me about them. So what kind of solutions are your students offering for problems that we have?
So for a couple of them, homelessness is a huge issue in Sioux Falls. And it's one of the first ones that comes to mind with vulnerable populations. And so my students want to kind of create something like Project Connect that's been done in the cities, but really having all the services that allow or provide resources to people who are homeless at one of our green spaces downtown, but then kind of creating incentives to bring them there. So maybe we can offer them free haircuts, or we can give them tickets to get some clothing, you know, so we're helping them receive those services to better their lives that way. Other students came up with having mobile vans. You know, I've had mobile vans in the past that could do kidney dialysis. I've also had mobile vans that can reach out to immigrants and migrant workers who maybe don't know the language, so we'd have interpreter systems on board that could meet these people where they're at, eliminating all of those determinants that really get in the way of them accessing that care. We've had people who want to better the health care for mental health in the prisons.
There's another one that we aren't able to highlight, but it was about children who are hearing impaired.
Right. They talked about creating a special playground because of the risk for social isolation among people who are hearing impaired. And so really making it kind of bright and colorful, but safe, you know, for them too. And so I could already picture it, you know, when they talked about it, just the fun place that they had, you know, kind of envisioned for someone who was hearing impaired. And the last one was even creating a DUI simulation on campuses because of the risk for alcohol abuse among college students. And so that's something that I think the students could easily, you know, this is something that could have an impact on our population here.
You seem to have a real passion for the work, for your students, and what I'm getting from you is that this just creates better people, like better nurses, but better people. Is that an accurate read of what you're trying to get across?
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for recognizing it. I do think that it makes them a better nurse because they're able, again, to see beyond just the tasks. You know, there's so much of nursing, and especially when you're a new grad, that's all you can focus on. But if I could have them leave this class thinking beyond those tasks and really looking at the bigger picture, I think it will make them a better person. They'll be more active in their communities. They'll give back to their communities, and they'll just be better nurses to our patients, because we don't know what people bring into the hospital with us. And so it's so important that we're really looking at that. So I am passionate about it. I love Sioux Falls is very lucky. We have a lot of great things going on here. And I love that they open their doors to my students as well and really allow us to come in and create ideas and to interact with the people that they serve.
Jill Pitts has a master's of nursing. She is an instructor at the University of Sioux Falls. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
First of all, from a human stance, we should care about other individuals.
Simone Reinleitner is a junior nursing student at the University of Sioux Falls. Her team examines what happens to people with mental illness behind bars.
We chose that because of the decision of a Rapid City recently to automatically incarcerate mentally ill when their hospital is full. So we wanted to evaluate if the treatment and everything of that within the prison is actually sufficient for that kind of decision.
Group members interview a nurse who previously worked in prison. They also access information from two pastors involved with corrections. Andrew Ruiz now understands what life is like for some prisoners with mental health problems.
The mentally ill are actually separated into their own separate unit. And the reason for that, what we found out from our key informant, the one that was a pastor, was that the general prison population like to pray on the weak and they pray on the mentally ill. So that was one of the things that surprised me, that they separate them for that reason, not because they need more care, not because they need more attention. It's so that they're not a target to the rest of the population.
Ruiz says he also learns that some prisoners suffering from mental illness receive too much medication, whether inadvertently or intentionally.
That they over-medicate them, just kind of like, here, toss some meds at them and try to fix the problem that way, rather than looking at the holistic approach of it and try to take care of the whole person itself, rather than just medicate them up and just, here, kind of, you're no longer my problem.
Ruiz says prisoners are human beings who made grave mistakes. Mariana Brawant says people don't need to know someone in prison or with mental illness to feel the effect of treating mental health in lockup.
It impacts you financially because you are paying your tax dollars that go towards prisons. And if they don't get the healthy treatment they need and they are continuously being reincarcerated, your money is going towards that.
Group members grapple with the concept that prison is punishment. They first construct plans that offer more opportunity than programs available to people not convicted of wrongdoing. Brawan says they settle on a strategy that prepares inmates for life beyond the razor wire.
We're going to have like a mandatory social skills class where they learn conflict resolution. So if they have conflicts with other inmates, they know how to properly manage that without just lashing out and being violent or doing the opposite and being isolated, which can actually exacerbate mental illness.
These college juniors argue education can lower recidivism. Reinleitner says treating mental illness helps break the cycle of health crisis and crime.
Like teaching about medication adherence and the reasons behind their illness and the importance of all the different interventions so that they don't get released from prison and just end up back in prison because nothing really fixed the problem in the first place.
Reinleitner says teaching life skills moves former prisoners from the label of vulnerable population to a new category, productive members of society. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Keely Boltina in Sioux Falls.